Please join me in the confession of sin. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy.
Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from Your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against Your law. We have done those things which we should not have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us.
Lift up your hearts with joy. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all of our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise for the versicles.
Thank you.
scripture lesson for this evening is recorded for us in the famous chapter of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. We begin our reading with verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Thanks be to God. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus. Never let me fall. I am trusting thee forever and for all. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of his Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God's grace and kindness are yours, to be found alone in that Savior. Amen. A number of years ago, I was sitting in a large convention hall listening to a foreign missionary speak about some persecution that he and the members of the churches where he was serving, that he and others had to face because of their faith in Christ. And it was interesting, during the other discussions and things that went on in that convention hall that week, it was rather noisy and people talking and chit-chatting. But as soon as he started to talk about their churches being burned and about people physically being beat up for their faith, you could have heard a pin drop. It got so quiet in there. It's interesting, when we learn about or hear about other people, or sometimes see other people that because of their relationship to Christ and a love for God's word, have had to suffer for their faith, it really causes some different reactions in us. I know in myself, it causes me a lot of times to think about how easily I take my Christian faith for granted, how easily I kind of forget about how important and serious this all truly is. But it kind of catches you in the throat a little bit and shakes your heart and your conscience a little bit and gets you to go back and rethink, by God's grace, what we've been given, the blessed gift of faith in Christ, what it means to belong to God's kingdom, to be one of those that are mentioned in the text that we had tonight from the book of Hebrews 11, the great chapter of faith, people who are longing for a better country than this world that we are living in today. This became such an important component of worship in many early churches that they would often read the lives and biographies of the martyrs so that people would be reminded of what some people have had to go through for this precious faith that we can so easily take for granted. In the text that I just read, the Great Hero of Faith chapter, God lists off believer after a believer in the Old Testament. And he goes on after the verses I just read to talk about some of the great challenges that people have had to face because of their relationship to Christ. And there are some things that God would like us to know about this faith he has given us and the life of faith in this world that has placed us on, the path of faith that we are on. First of all, don't expect to see any evidence of God's working here and now in empirical proof. Listen, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, the things promised some have, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. You see, in this life, we really don't get to see the things of the kingdom of God. We hold on to them simply by faith. That's the way God has designed it. That's the way he has constructed the ways of his kingdom. Sometimes we maybe wish it was another way. Maybe we wish that God would just come down and show us his power. Wouldn't it be great if Christ would just show up in our sanctuaries and talk to us? Wouldn't it be great if God did miraculous things that we could point to and take our friends to and show them by empirical evidence to convince them that this is true and real? But God consistently throughout Scripture reminds us that this is not the ways of his kingdom. He has chosen instead to work through the foolish and the weak things and the despised things of this world, the things that appear to be nothing. And he says, through these things, this is where I will be working in your hearts and minds, holding you to Christ. Faith is being assured of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We just heard that again in our chapel talk for this morning. It's very comforting for us to know that the faith that's inside of us, even that little thing that is struggling at times, but that faith that's inside of us that recognizes our sin and causes us to love what our Lord Jesus did on the cross, that smiles at his grace and realizes how wonderful that is and looks forward to heaven, that faith that's inside of us, that's the activity of God himself. It's not a doing of man. That's very comforting for us to know. And even when our reason and empirical evidence would seem to tell us otherwise, God sustains that faith in our hearts through his word to hold on to what he has said and to cling to it. We see that often in the lives of the patriarchs. We think of Noah dedicating all those years of his life to the construction of the ark, to this great flood that was coming that he could not yet see. We think of Abraham and Sarah, in their elderly years, the age of my father in his 80s and so on, being told that they would be given the the gift of a child, and that they trusted that promise of God. But so often the things that God gives us to hold on to, especially when it comes to eternal life, are things that we will never see in this life. And that's what God is expressing for us. Also, this faith that God has given us in our hearts causes us to look at this life in a completely different way than the people of the world look at it. It causes us to band together with fellow Christians who have been blessed with the same gift like us. You get the sense in that reading that all of these believers were just cluttered together like people on a journey, and they were living in a foreign place, and yet they would huddle together to support one another. This is a picture of the Holy Christian Church throughout time and all around the world, that faith connection to one another. Great example of that from the Old Testament is the story of Joseph. Joseph had been, after sold into slavery, grew up and became an adult, learning the Egyptian ways and all of the things of the Egyptians, rose to a power of second in the land. Think of the wealth and the money, the prosperity that he probably got to live in. And yet, his heart of faith still identified with the believers. He knew that that's where he belonged, with God's people in this world. To such an extent that he made sure to request that upon his death, his very bones would be brought back to the promised land with them. Faith causes us to look for a better country, a better place to live than the one we're in. Listen to these words again. Now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And knowing that that's coming for us because of Christ, the faith that we live in now, even though it's tough and difficult and challenging, it is worth any type of problem we may have to deal with in this world. Let me just read a little bit to you about further on in the chapter of Hebrews 11. Listen to what he says about many of the believers. They were tortured and refused to be released. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They believe that was the prophet Isaiah. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. And then I love this line, and this is for you too. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. This is what Luther says. So it goes with all those who hold firmly only to the word of God. They close their eyes and ears against the devil, the world, and even themselves, and act as if they and God were the only ones in heaven and on earth. What a blessing that God, by his grace, through the work of his Holy Spirit, has caused us to be part of this heavenly band that makes its way through this world. Let me just read for you the final verses of this chapter that we're preaching from tonight, from Hebrews 11, because God makes sure to include you in it at the conclusion. Listen to these words. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us they would be made perfect. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works proceed, give your servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended by you from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.